Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Brother Terry, welcome back. Good to have you. This morning, I was very encouraged with what we've heard already this morning. Thank you, brothers, for your faithfulness and sharing. This last story of this girl that was just free in her heart, and she was walking, and she felt like she was floating across the ground. You know what? That just brought tears to my eyes because I remember that day when I met God and I made restitution for things I've done wrong. And I remember particularly making restitution with someone, and I was walking back to the vehicle, and it just felt like there was just two or three steps between him and I, and it was probably 100 feet. But it just felt like I never hit the ground. Freedom. And that's joy unspeakable. And if you're here today and you don't have a free conscience, you can have it. You really can. Thank you, Brother Nick, for that. Thank you, brothers, for what you've shared already. This morning, I'm going to read a bit out of Matthew 25 and the parable of the virgins. Just want to draw a few thoughts out of there to get our minds thinking, to stir us to onto holiness, onto following God. Because you know, sometimes as we go through life, we lose sight of the purpose of our life. We can do that. I can testify to that. Sometimes I'm just busy in life. Work's just pounding down my neck, and like there's this thing to do, there's this thing to fix, and you got to be on the road at this time, and you got to meet that deadline, and then before you know it, if that goes on too long, your focus is just work, and we tend to lose out sometimes. We tend to lose our focus on actually living for the King. And then I was reminded again with Brother Simeon just shared here this morning again about seeking the kingdom of heaven and not earthly riches. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal Father, O Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, you know our very needs here this morning. Father, you see us through and through. And this morning, Father, as we have gathered here to worship you, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to our hearts this morning by the men that have all come forward. Each one has given us something from your word. I pray, Father, bless each one for that. Father, I pray again that you direct me by your Spirit here, Lord, that we could again learn of you. We could be inspired to follow you, Lord. I pray, God, that I'd be able to speak, Lord, in a way that would exalt you, that you can draw men, women, and children to yourself. Oh, Father, I pray meet with us here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Father, for a new life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read maybe the first 13 verses here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. A couple things that we want to just look at here in this account is, one is there's a call came out that the bridegroom is coming. It was common back then that if there was going to be a wedding, the woman was committed to the man, and he would leave and he'd go prepare a place. And they didn't know when he was coming for sure. But when he came, he usually sent word out ahead that he's coming. And this call went out because it says, they went forth to meet the bridegroom. There's a call came. At this point, the call didn't come yet. The call came when they were all still slumbering and sleeping. And there's a call came. And they all rose up to meet him. But they were aware of it before, that this call was coming. They knew he was returning. And they were there. They were just like you and I, going about life, our everyday responsibilities. But we can choose to live it in the carefulness of in the kingdom of God, or for ourselves. And this call came, and they all woke up. They all rose up to meet him. All of them did. And it says that all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Gone out there is the same Greek word, Greek meaning of the verse that says, Quench not the Spirit of God. It's gone out. It is no more. There's no light there. And that call came. They all woke up. Some, they got up. They trimmed their lamps. And they made them shine. They gave off the best light that they had at that point. Others, it says they all trimmed their lamps. But, you know, when a lamp is completely dry, and you go trim off that wick, what happens? So if a lamp is completely out of oil, she's already all run dry, and you cut that wick off. Because see, on those oil lamps, there's a wick inside there that goes down into the oil, and it keeps sucking up. And that's what the flame's burning off of. And the wick keeps burning a little at a time, but not near as fast as the oil that's drawn. But when that wick has no moisture in it, there's nothing to suck from it, it's just the wick burning. And so when you trim that, you pretty much cut the flame right off of that thing, if there's anything there. And they all woke up and they said, ours are gone out. They trimmed it, there was just nothing there. No life. No spiritual life left. And it also goes to show, they said, you know, let us have some from you. And they said, we can't do that. And I was thinking of, we can be in a congregation and we can live a corrupt life if we want. But just because we are with those that are living righteously, there's nothing there for you. You can't take something from them to make it in on their coattail, so to speak. There's not enough for them to give to you in that way. But they told him, you go buy for yourself. You go out and buy it. You go find it. And then when they came back, they said, Lord, open to us. Open to us. And he said, I know you not. I know you not. And another thing I want us to see here is the severity of not being ready. The severity of not being ready. He says, I know you not. The first five, they rose and then they went in. They had this glorious experience at this wedding feast. They got to experience all the glories of what the bridegroom provided for them. And the last five, they got to experience life without him, being outside of that kingdom. The first five, you know, they lived in righteousness and obedience. They walked in the fear of God. The other five, it seems like the life they lived was compromise. Maybe did things on their own. You know, but this call has gone out to each of us, and how we respond is going to make the difference. Maybe the last five, before that lamp went completely out, maybe they were, instead of being completely transformed, maybe they were just trying to reform some areas of their life. You know, sure, I gave up some areas of my life, but some areas I'm keeping a hold of. They just reformed those, made them look a little better. Just try to make it a little better. But you know what? God wants us, just as the butterfly, he wants us to have that metamorphic experience. He wants us to be completely changed. He wants to change us from the inside out. You know, in this picture of a wedding, all 10 were doing something. Something they had in common was they were waiting. Some were waiting and they were ready. It gives us that picture. And others weren't, but they were waiting. They were waiting for this wedding. And, you know, it's an exciting picture for us as Christians to be looking forward to the return of Christ in that way. I'm glad that we have weddings today that we get to experience in an earthly sense. That gives us that beautiful picture. I don't know if Zach and Lisa, you guys looking forward to your wedding? Does your dad have to remind you, Zach, every couple of days, hey, Zach, your wedding's coming up. You probably should start thinking about it. Does Victor do that for you, Lisa? It's like in a couple weeks here. I haven't heard either of their parents make any of those comments. And I haven't heard anybody say that that's something they have to constantly do, is keep them reminded here, something coming up, something big, should be excited about it. But you know, when it comes to our Christian lives, it seems like we need reminders a lot. And I want to encourage us to let our lights burn, to as we abide in Christ, let our lights be burning brightly. Trim those lamps, those areas that are creating a little black smoke, trim those off. Just for a little illustration, I'm not an artist whatsoever, but just to help us get a little picture. No, that's a lopsided globe, but I already told you I wasn't an artist. And so that's a flame burning fairly bright. And here, I should have done it how I did the other one. It worked out better. And here, and this one here, they woke up, they trimmed their lamps. They were full of oil. This is full down here. There's still plenty in there. But in this one here, you know, when a lamp runs out of oil and it just starts burning the wick, or it starts burning the wick on an uneven trimming, this here globe will all turn black. It turns really black here. It doesn't give any light off. And typically, it's not long after this here flame goes out. And, you know, there's Oil in our lamps is very important to keep them burning brightly. You know, we as men, we know what oil is in life. Most of us know are familiar with engines. And a need in an engine is that there's oil in it for it to function. And the same thing, there's a need in these lamps that if it doesn't have oil, it goes dark. It goes dark. And it's the same way with our lives. When it doesn't have oil, it goes dark. Well, when an engine doesn't have oil, it stops working. They either lock up or they blow up. There's things go wrong with them. Both become non-functional. They're worthless. And there's a few things that create running dry in oil. You know, in an engine, running dry in oil, you could have some engine gaskets that are bad, and the oil is just leaking over there, and you're burning it. And then your engine oil pan runs dry. There's nothing fresh in there to keep the engine oil is there to keep everything lubricated and moving properly and functioning right. It's important that it's not wore out. There's fresh oil there. But when it runs dry, she'll lock up or blow up. In the same way with our lives, there's a few things that, you know, like the oil head gaskets going out in an engine. There's things that are devastating in our lives that run us dry. Foolishness is a big killer. Inappropriate humor, making light of things sacred or making light of things that we shouldn't speak of in secret. A lack of abiding in Him. We don't read much or pray much. Fasting becomes a stranger to us. You know, there's indicators in our lives if we have oil or not. Because obviously, Jesus gave us this parable, and these people knew if they had oil or if they didn't have oil. They knew where they were at in life. And it's a little bit the same as in an engine. You know if there's oil in that engine. One is your pressure gauge stops reading. You know, I drive a truck, so I watch that engine oil pressure gauge. It's a serious thing to me. Because when that thing moves, I know I have major issues at hand. Whether that's up or down. Too much oil pressure will blow your gaskets out. And not enough. There's not enough there to keep things lubricated and things lock up or blow up on the inside. But it's important that we take an evaluation in our own life to see where our oil level is. And I'm not suggesting that you look at your life and say, okay, I got a little bit on the bottom or it's full. My heart is that we know if we're walking with God, we know if there's sin in our lives, those things what dictate if there's oil in there or not. And we know that by our conduct, our speech, if it's Christ-like, that's a good indicator of our level of oil. Because like I said, sometimes we forget our purpose for life. And we get sidetracked and we don't live for this heavenly kingdom. And when that happens, we're not aware of, just like in our trucks, there's a buzzer goes off when that oil pressure isn't right. There's a light comes on and a lot of times a buzzer goes off. I've had it happen before where it says, shut off engine. Big red flashing letters in my screen. That's a horrible feeling when you're in four lanes of traffic and everybody's moving along and you're heavy loaded, and where do you shut this thing off at? Right in the middle? That's not a good feeling. But that's an indicator that my engine oil level was wrong. But our conscience works the same way. Our conscience tells us when we're failing at with the world. It tells us to shut it off. It tells us to take in more of God. It tells us that's not right. Our conscience does that for us. Sometimes we go through life and we think We think because of our situation, because of our status, because of maybe I dress right, maybe I talk right, maybe I'm a member in the church, all those things, whatever it is, we think that we're fine with the way we're living because based on those things. But let's base our being okay and right on the Word of God. Let's base it on Him, not on all the things that we accomplish or are doing. There's many people who do a lot of right things, but are going to miss the eternal goal. I had to think of a story of a young man. He was newly a new convert. He went against a lot of older converts' direction, but his heart was to be a missionary, and so he went. I don't remember where he went anymore, but one of my boys just tell me about how he went, and he was at this trying to reach this one tribe, and he was out there, a young missionary. He thought he knew the language, and so he was there. He was calling out to these people. He was there fishing. He knew they saw him because every so often they would take something he would let lay out, but he never saw them. And so he was fishing, and he started calling out to them in their language. He knew just a few words. And he thought, I forget what he thought it meant. It was something positive. But the words he was calling out was something along the lines, "You scoundrels." And after he did that for a little while, he turned around and he saw natives standing there with their bows pointed at him. He thought he knew what he was doing, but the way he was going about things was not proven to be very fruitful. And my point is sometimes, like I said, we can be doing a lot of right things, saying a lot of right things around the right people, and then around other people, we say different things. We live differently. And God forbid that we do that. That's an indication that our oil level, the buzzer, is going off. We need to take a look at it. Just a few low oil pressure indicators. For us as men, when in business, how does it work for you? You know, you come here on a Sunday, and almost everybody, just by default, has a Sunday face, pretty much. Like, I don't bring my work to church. So if I'm all stressed out at work, I know God's got it under control. However, I don't always feel like that, but I know that. And so when you ask me, how's it going? Well, it's going fine, because I know God's in control. But if you saw me at work, sometimes I'm a little more like, boy, I'm just not sure how this is really going to work out, you know? I don't feel quite so fine. And I don't believe that's necessarily hypocrisy. I don't believe any of you necessarily bring your work to church and all your struggles. We do have a friendly face for everybody. But we can also be at work and we can have a very negative, instead of looking at God's in control, we can be, God forbid, but we could be cursing and swearing that something is going wrong. Something just went upside down. This cost me a lot of money. I can't believe it, and just let her fly. I knew I shouldn't have done that, but then do it again. And that's a life you live. Or maybe it's your suppliers. Maybe they supply you with whatever materials you need. And you have to call them up and you have to tell them that so many pieces were bad even when they really weren't. And just so you can keep getting every little dollar off of your bill. Those things, those are low oil indicators. Because God doesn't want us to live that way. Maybe a business deal costs you more than what you were expecting, and you respond in a selfish way. All these things are driven by greed. That's the only thing that drives it. It's my money. You know, if it's God's money, we're going to be careful with it, but we can let it go a little easier. It's mine. We're driven by greed, selfishness, and it drives us to the point where we have to run down the one we feel that's charging us too much, or maybe didn't treat us the way we feel like we deserved. Driven by greed, selfishness. But then I can put on my church face and come here and enjoy a good time of worship, fellowship. You know, friends, it's a dangerous place for us to find ourselves. Maybe you're an employee and you find yourself not giving your employer your 100% effort. You're being slothful. You're wasting his time. He's paying you for it. And God calls us to do all things diligently as unto him. He is our employer. He's the one we answer to. Maybe we find ourselves just murmuring and complaining about our job, our boss, just being unthankful. You know, those are low oil indicators. Because we should be very thankful for a job. And I know some jobs are more stressful than others. I understand that. But being unthankful and speaking evil, murmuring, complaining is not the answer. It won't get us anywhere in life. Maybe we find ourselves easily offended. Easily offended. You know, if we're easily offended, we have a fairly low oil indicator level, because we're not to be offended at all. We're not to take offense or be offensive. You know, so someone shares a concern about you or your children. You get upset and think of all those things that you see in their lives, and you're seething inside. Just bugs you to no end. That's a good indication of our oil level. And I realize we can look at it as taking their side and looking at all the right things through it. However, that's a really low oil indicator. You know, I want to encourage you to not take your children's side without hearing the matter. You can say, well, it's easy for you. Well, it's not easy for me to say. Because we have many opportunities as a family. Accusations roll in, and I can take their side, or I can hear it and make my judgment according to what is right. Our natural, earthly desire is to take their side. They're ours. They're my children. Don't you talk to my children. Don't you talk about my children like that. I know they wouldn't have done that. And well, even if they did, if he wouldn't have done that, then they wouldn't have done that. It's really his fault, not theirs. You see where that goes? Those are low oil indicators, because we can't respond that way. That's not a Christ-like response. He wants us to be honest, look at it, and realize that our children are human. My children make mistakes. They do. And what might surprise you even more than that is I make mistakes, and I'm their dad. And I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to be the one they look up to. But you know what? I try to be quick to tell them sorry. I try to be quick to tell them, you know what? What I did there was not right. Don't be taking your children aside without hearing the matter. Because many opportunities come our way. You know, another thing that I've found a blessing is, even when people come and share their concerns, you can just thank them for it. And they can be dead wrong. Absolutely wrong. But you can sit there and evaluate, okay, so what did they share with us? All right. And we can say, son, daughter, you know what? Even though they're wrong, they did have a really interesting point. Like this, you know, and something stuck out. You can find a positive to share, to take off the edge of the struggle for your child of kind of being bitter or having ill feelings towards someone. Because when you take their side, you set them up for failure. You set yourself up for failure. Because the truth of the matter is, your children aren't little angels. They're not. Would you agree with that, dads? Your children are not little angels. If they were, then they would worship God all the time. They would do things right. But they were created with the Adamic nature. They were created like you and I were. And though they mean a lot to us, let's be careful. Let's be very careful on how we take sides. And by all means, I hope you understand that you don't push your child aside and treat this like a courtroom and hear the matter. Make a right judgment. Maybe you find yourself in life, you're all about yourself. You have worldly appetites. That's a low-level indicator. We're told in Romans 12, 2, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Keeping our lives clear in that way that we can have discernment. Maybe you have a problem with your mouth. You know, all of us got one of those, and all of us are tempted to use it sometimes in a wrong way. I'm pretty sure. Is that an overstatement, Terry, if I say all of us? I think it includes all of us. I'm one I got to watch myself probably more than most. But we all have one of these things. And it is a good way to get a good look in someone's life. Just listen to what comes out of their mouth. It gives you a good picture of what their life's about. Maybe if you've got the problem with your mouth, maybe you've got the problem of stretching the truth. Maybe a problem with just lying. Stretching the truth is lying, but some need to have that differentiated somehow. Don't seem as bad. The problem is lying. Maybe we've got a problem with gossip. Did you hear? Did you know? Did you see? Pray for these people. All in forms of gossip. Really not having a heart for them, but just really having a heart to say something new. Maybe we've got a problem with using terms of this world and thinking that it's not a big deal. Terms of this world and thinking that it's not a big deal. When the Word of God teaches us otherwise. Terms like, well, saying words in a way that you're just pronouncing them a bit differently, but they actually mean something vulgar. You follow that? Pronouncing words in a way to where you don't actually say the word, but it's really close. And really what you meant to say is the vulgar word, but you tried to just make it nice. Because, oh, by the way, I'm a Christian. I can't say the vulgar thing. Or maybe it's maybe not actually saying the word, but there's hand motions you can do to where it means something vulgar. But instead of putting that finger up, you put up the one beside it. And you're as angry as can be. Those things happen in our circles. And I want us just to evaluate our lives. Because, friends, if this thing's out of oil, this thing's dark. When this thing's dark, all those things show up. That's what that is. It's just dark life. But it just becomes evident to everyone around. We can kind of hide it so it's not just a little smoky, not too black, but it keeps getting worse. We're going to miss life eternal. We're going to miss it. He's going to say, I know you not. You know that problem with gossip? It separates friends. It hurts people. It turns people bitter. Terms like, if you tell anybody, I'm going to kill you. Those sound like Christian terms, don't they? They're not. Those shouldn't be named among us. Terms that I'm going to kill you. The Bible says that we're not to be murderers. We're not to even have hate in our hearts. Making comments and pretending to do the things that this world does. They're not to be named among us. In James chapter 3, he asked this question. He says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And I thought it was interesting. This morning I was reading that and pondering it, and I was thinking, he's addressing a church. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Is it possible that you get sweet water and bitter water from the same well? Does anybody have a well that functions that way? Anybody? Anybody taste sulfur water before? A number of you? Imagine just taking a drink of water and it's cool and refreshing. Then all of a sudden, unknown to you, that well for some reason switches to sulfur. And you're just drinking deep and boom, that is nasty stuff. And maybe you like sulfur. I don't. We used to go to a family reunion somewhere south of here. And they got sulfur water. I think it's down Parent Road or something. They got bad water. And you about died at that reunion. We was little children. We played hard. And you went for a fresh drink. Oh, you needed a drink. And the water stunk so bad. It tasted awful. It's not possible. It's not possible for us to have a flame burning and producing these two things. I'm not talking about someone that has their heart bent towards God and then fails at times. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this is becoming a life habit. These things are becoming a habit in my life. It's becoming a lifestyle. We can't have those in the kingdom of heaven and expect to make it in the end. He says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. No fountain can produce salt water and fresh. And it is interesting if you look at pictures, overview pictures down where a big river comes into the ocean, there's a distinct line where there's fresh water and salt water. It's very clear. You can see it. And that's how it should be in our life, with our lives. It should be very clear that we can see it. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words are important to be careful with. It's very important. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You know, you find somebody that has a heavy heart. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. Words are powerful. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? How good is it? Indicators of running out, oil running out, is reverting back to our old ways. You find yourself back in some old habits, wrong desires, wrong affections. Gives you an indicator of where you're at. Cheating, lying, alcohol, drugs, self-righteousness, not needing God. And sometimes the problem, the reason we have these problems is because we don't have the desire. We had the desire to be saved, but the desire to go on and be all we can be for God. We get excited, we enter the kingdom, and we just kind of stay at the door. We just stay there instead of going further and gaining more, living off of meat instead of milk. We start to lose out. Reminds me of the account that one of the young men that may have read it in a children's lesson about the girl that fell out of bed. Mom asked her in the morning, what happened that she fell out of bed? And she says, well, I must have stayed too close to the point of where I got in at. You know, it's a good thought for us. Let's not stay just right where we got in, but let's go on. Let's go on with the Lord. Let's have our lamps full of oil. In some ways of having our lamps full of oil is believing God. Believing God. Obeying His Word. Believing His Word. Following His Word. This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. Jesus teaches us there. He tells us that He is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, if we go for that bread of life, we won't have this problem of running out of oil. Sure, we go through times of challenges and all those things. I understand that. But we're going to have oil. We'll make it through. To believe God is to believe His Word and act accordingly. Act in obedience. And if we find ourselves having these problems, then we must go to the Word and see, what does He say about it? What does God say about my problem? My problem of wrong language. My problem of lying, cheating, stealing, greed, gossip, whatever it is. My lack of seeing my need for the Lord, self-righteousness. Whatever it is. The answer is we need to go see what He says about it. We need to repent from it and then take it serious. You know, if the Word of God condemns something, then we need to take that personal. I need to take it personal. I need to take it in a serious way. That's for me. It's talking to me. So often we can always look at others around us and we're better. We find somebody that we can be better at something than they are. Each one of us can do that. But that doesn't make it right for where we are. God wants to take us and deal with us. You know, what does God's Word say about it? If it condemns it, make it personal. Just a little example. Where do liars go? Where do liars go? Where does a greedy man go? Where do people go that are caught up in gossip and all the other things? It's not to the hot spots of today, the local coffee shops. It's not there. It's the lake of fire. And so if we take that serious, it's eternal judgment. It's eternal separation from God. If we take it serious, it'll change us. That habit that problem will go away. If you've got a problem with hypocrisy, it'll go away. Because I'm going to take the word of God, believe it, repent, and be serious about it. It'll fix it. Josh said, those streams of mercy, they're still flowing today. They're for us. I want to encourage us to make it important. It's not a little thing. It's not a little thing. Make it important. Commune daily with him. Commune daily with him. Love God. Be concerned about him and what he's concerned about. Abide in him. Abideth means to continue to abide. It's not just you go and do it once, but you just continue to do that. Going back to the word of God. Finding rest in Christ. His word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. We truly can find rest there. We truly can find freedom from all bad habits that want to bind us. We truly can. We can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And I just want to encourage each one of us. You know, if there's something we lack in that area, don't take condemnation from this. But take courage. The streams of mercy are still flowing. Take courage. You can do something about it today. We don't have to live with that. We can be free. Because God is the one who judges us. So I can make you feel condemned all day long. That won't do any good. I want to encourage you to find life in Christ Jesus, not feel condemned. If God spoke, you take care of it. You know where you're at. I know what God deals with me in my life. He deals with me. And I also know what it is to feel like to resist him, letting him deal with me. I'm not free. And I know what it's like to walk and feel like I'm floating across the ground. We can be there, friends. God bless each one of you.